Hello and welcome to Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters, and today we'll look into a number of stories and issues in the news. We'll begin and go to Israel to speak with Gideon Levy, who is a journalist and member of the editorial board of Haaretz and a former spokesperson for Shimon Peres. We will discuss the release today of a report by the Israeli government on the circumstances surrounding the alleged suicide of a former spy for Israel's Mossad, an Australian-Israeli known as Prisoner X, who was imprisoned in secret under a false identity and died under mysterious circumstances 2 years ago. Then we'll examine the relations between the military and civilian leadership in China following the revelations that a special unit of the People's Liberation Army has been actively involved in hacking U.S. government and U.S. corporate computers. Steve Clemens, the editor-at-large for The Atlantic, joins us to discuss how rogue the Chinese military is and whether exposing the activities of the PLA in cyber espionage will dampen the ongoing efforts of China to steal America's military and commercial secrets. Then finally, we will look into the fate of Chuck Hagel's nomination to be the next Secretary of Defense and whether, when the Senate returns in a week, there will be a filibuster or a vote on his nomination. Jacob Halbrin, a senior editor at the National Interest and the author of They Knew They Were Right, The Rise of the Neocons, joins us to discuss the role of the neocons in derailing Hagel's nomination and whether his ability to oversee the Pentagon has already been damaged. Joining us now from Israel is Gideon Levy, who is an Israeli journalist who writes for Haaretz and is a former spokesman for Shimon Peres. Gideon Levy's writing is highly praised and noted for its keen analysis, insight, and understanding of the Israeli as well as Palestinian perspectives. And he's been covering the Prisoner X story, which has been a big story in Israel. That is, of course, the Australian-Israeli who was found hanged in his cell on December the 15th of 2010. The news only broke recently due to an Australian television documentary. What did you make of the report that came out today from the Israeli government's investigation of Prisoner X's death?
Very little, because very little was investigated. They found out that he hanged himself in the bathroom in his cell, where there were no cameras, and this might be true. I would trust the judge who investigated it. But what we really lack is the knowledge. Why did he decide to hang himself? What moved him? What motivated him? And how could this be prevented?
Well, we also don't know why he was in jail in the first place, do we?
Absolutely. But that's the basic of everything. We don't know. We know so little, and I think that we know much too little. And let's remember that it's not the Australian TV, then we don't know anything.
So you're on the editorial board of Haaretz, are you not, Gideon?
Right.
So tell me what kind of negotiations went on between your newspaper, the other Israeli newspapers and broadcasters in advance of this story. My understanding is that the Prime Minister weighed in and tried to stop the Israeli press from reporting on the revelations in the Australian ABC television documentary.
Right, but Haaretz was not part of it because we didn't participate. We don't go to these kind of meetings. There was an attempt to prevent the publication even after it was screened in Australia, which was rather ridiculous. And I think even the government understands now, and the Mossad, both they understand that this was really, really far too stupid to believe that Israeli media can hide something which was published in Australia in open TV. And in any case, it was pathetic because for a moment, Israel went back to its 50s when things like this happened, and a lot, when the prime minister could call the editors of the newspapers and share with them some information and to get in return a commitment that they will not publish it. Those days are, thanks God, over.
So, Gideon Levy, I think there's not much doubt that he had something to do with Mossad. It's highly unusual that somebody would be put in a prison, a top security prison, I believe in the very cell that was built for the assassin of former Prime Minister Rabin, and it has apparently a lot of surveillance, the cell. But the idea that he could be in a prison under a false name, and then die under these mysterious circumstances, which the government report today suggests it was suicide. But it also, I suppose, does it not question the prison authorities? What's the explanation for the gap in surveillance?
Yeah, all the criticism is now aimed at the prison authority, but I think this is the wrong address, because they by themselves didn't know who he is, and they got their direct instructions from the Mossad, I guess, and they are also the weakest organization of them all, and to put now all the blame on them is really ridiculous. Maybe they should have been more alerted to the possibility that Mr. Zigier might commit suicide, and maybe some cameras worked or didn't work, but this is really not the story and this is not the issue.
So again, I'm speaking with Gideon Levy, who's in Israel. He's an Israeli journalist and on the editorial board of Haaretz and a former spokesman for Shimon Peres. So we understand from the Australian-Israeli prisoner X, Ben Zagir's lawyer, who met with him, I think, maybe a day or at least 2 days before he died, and apparently he was engaged in some kind of plea bargain that was going on with the prisoner X and Mossad. And it's been alleged that they were putting a lot of pressure on him, that his family wouldn't speak to him again, at least his Israeli family. He's married to an Israeli woman, and she had just given birth to their second child, which led the lawyer to question whether he was in a suicidal mood, because he was in the middle of trying to get a plea bargain deal together, and he'd just become a father again. So are any of these basic suspicions being answered?
No, they are not answered, and more than this, this lawyer came out with the impression that the guy is in good condition, I mean mentally, and he didn't even assume that 24 hours later he will commit suicide. There are questions, many more questions than answers, and I'm afraid that to most of them we'll never get an answer.
So is there, I imagine there's a lot of speculation, but there were reports, I believe, coming out of Kuwait that he was, that prisoner X Ben Zagir was involved in the hit against the Hamas leader in Dubai. What do you make of those reports? Are you constrained in any way from exploring those leads?
I can just tell you that I'm sure that he was not involved in growing oranges. He was involved in some of those dirty businesses. Which one, nobody knows. And as I said before, I'm afraid that nobody will ever know. Speculations are many. I wouldn't buy any information, because as usual in stories like this, there is also a lot of misinformation which is spread by many interest groups in this story. And finally, I think the principles should be remembered and the lessons should be taken, and above all, that it's out of the question, it's unbearable that in a democracy things like this will happen.
So is there anything known about the company that he worked for? I mean, it's a public company, and a European telecommunications company that had contracts and did work in Lebanon, Syria, and in Iran. What's the reporting on that? Is there any substance or any new information? Because it appears, you know, the CIA over here have often operate through proprietary companies. For example, the Valerie Plame, the woman that Dick Cheney or his right-hand man went after because her husband wrote a damning editorial in the New York Times about the White House's, Bush White House's claims about Niger selling uranium to Saddam Hussein. I don't know whether you recall that case, but in any case, she was working for a company called Brewster Jennings, which is an energy company, as it happened, a consulting company in Europe. So it's not uncommon that spies work through proprietary fronts. Anything that you can tell us about that particular organization, or that company? And he was a lawyer, apparently.
Yeah, he was a lawyer and he practiced law here in Israel in a quite a big firm. But I don't know anything about the company that employed him, and nothing was confirmed. And this is really based on rumors. Nobody confirmed anything about his activity later on.
Well, apparently this has had an effect on Israeli-Australian relations, particularly in terms of the security and the military relations. My understanding is that there's a lot of bad feelings on the part of the Australians, particularly the intelligence service, who had apparently, at least according to some reports, they had been in touch with Benziger, both, I don't know about whether it was in Israel, but certainly in Australia. They were concerned about not just him, but three other Australian Israelis who were going back regularly to renew passports under different names. And I imagine the attitude that the Australian government has in this is that they don't want their citizens who travel to a place like Iran being considered Israeli spies, right? I mean, there's blowback involved in this, surely.
Yes, but I'm not sure that everything that was published is also the full truth, because there might be also a kind of collaboration under the surface. Australia has to save face now, has to protest, but what is under the surface is not very clear. It's not the first time, by the way, that Israel get complicated with Australia on a very similar background. And the question is, do the secret services of Australia, were they really surprised by the whole thing? Are they in the picture? Are they not? There were also speculations that they were those who leaked it to the Australian TV. As I said before, many more questions than answers.
Well, but it does seem, for example, there was a recent vote in Australia on, well, for it, at the United Nations, about the acceptance of the statehood of Palestine, that recent UN vote, and the Australian government was expected to vote against it, along with Israel and the United States. And the Prime Minister of Australia was prepared to do that, but there was a kind of coup, if you will, on the cabinet, led by the Foreign Minister, Bob Carr. And Australia, the Prime Minister was overruled by her cabinet, and Australia abstained in that vote. And the speculation in the Australian press is that Bob Carr, who is the Foreign Minister of Australia, who has been leading in terms of both an inquiry into the death of Benziger and has been very critical of what happened, he also, of course, led this coup, if you will, in the cabinet to overrule the Prime Minister. So that looks to me like there's maybe a cause and effect there. Would you agree with that?
I know too little about what's going on in Australian politics, and some of the things that you see now are quite new for me. It might be, but it's not necessarily so, because Australia's support to Israel was in the recent years so automatic that one can also question it without getting complicated in an espionage story like this one. Maybe it is connected, maybe it is not, I really don't know.
Well, it obviously, just in closing, Gideon Levy, this is not the first time there's been an embarrassment, I guess, in terms of the Mossad, the use of foreign passports, not just with the Doha incident with the assassination of the Hamas leader, but prior to that in Jordan, there was an assassination attempt, and I believe that backfired. I think Canadian passports were used in that case, but Netanyahu was forced to hand over the antidote to revive the Hamas guy that they assassinated.
Yeah, this was the Hamas guy was Khaled Mashal, the
right.
Leader of Hamas.
The leader, exactly.
This goes back many years. And somehow Israel always finds its way, because after all those embarrassments, I'm not aware to any of those countries, Canada or Australia, who became less friendly to Israel on the political level.
Mm-hmm. But you're concerned as an Israeli is about the extent to which your state is involved in this kind of stuff, even though the Prime Minister recently, in regard to this incident with the Australian-Israeli prisoner X having been found dead 2 years ago, he made the point that, you know, that we have to trust our services and that we're in a different situation here in Israel because of our environment and our state of, well, whether it's a state of war or what, but you know what I'm talking about. So the point that you made earlier was, though, that you find this very troubling in terms of the very, what could I say, the soul of the state of Israel. Is that what your concerns are?
Absolutely. I'm concerned about the democracy of Israel. I'm concerned about the fact that there is a prisoner in Israeli prison who is hidden from the public, who commits suicide, and for 2 years nobody knows about it. Those are things that are unacceptable. And those are things, because one can ask himself, okay, how many more are there in the Israeli jail? And how many more stories like this happened and we'll never know about them? It's all about much bigger access to basic things without harming the security of Israel. But under this shield of security, you can't hide everything. Sorry.
Well, Gideon Levy, I thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much.
Again, I've been speaking with Gideon Levy, who's an Israeli journalist and a member of the editorial board of Haaretz, and he's a former spokesperson for Shimon Peres. We're going to take a brief station break and be back talking about whether the Chinese military has gone rogue. ללחיצות שלך מפנה מקום בבטן שאוכל לבלוע אותך אני מפנה מקום בתיבה למכתבים ש...